Hi everyone, this is Lucy Franks. I'm at my local cinema, really looking forward to seeing the second Dune film. I'm here with my guide dog Mabel. I've got my coffee and I've got my audio description device. So let's hope that that all works great. And I'll look forward to talking to you about it all later. Bye.
This world is beyond cruelty.
You've been fighting the Harkonnens for decades. My family's been fighting them for centuries. And they were massacred. Alongside my father.
Your father didn't believe in revenge.
We believe in Fremen.
Let me fight beside you.
Do you believe in Paul?
There are signs.
There we go. That was the clip from Dune 2, that exhilarating follow-up to Denis Villeneuve's first movie based on the famous sci-fi epic from Frank Herbert. Now, part 2 follows Paul Atreides as he unites with Chani and the Fremen while seeking revenge against the conspirators who destroyed his family. Facing a choice between the love of his life and the fate of the universe, he must prevent a terrible future only he can foresee. And joining me now, of course, as you heard just a moment before, is Lucy Franks, and we are reviewing this really exciting movie. How are you, Lucy?
I'm good, thank you. Nice to talk to you again.
So whenever you go and see a movie, the big thing is to get an AD or audio description headset that actually works. How did that go?
I must admit, I think audio description has really improved over the last few years, both the audio description itself and the equipment and the staff's awareness of the equipment as well. My audio description worked great. There was an advert with audio description just before the film, which my heart always does a little leap, because if that works, then you know it's going to work for the film. If you don't have that, the film starts and you're sitting there and going, okay, have they just not spoken yet? Or is this not working?
Audio description itself, how did you find it?
Yeah, it was good. It was one of those audio descriptions where I can't think of anything really specific that sticks in my mind. Now, I think that actually means it was good. I think if there's a lot of things in the audio description that you can remember, then either the audio description was too much or the film wasn't good enough. You know, the audio description is meant to enhance your experience of the film. Don't remember at any point thinking, oh, you know, that wasn't very helpful. There were a couple of spoilers because I have RP, so I have tunnel vision. Sometimes they speak things before they happen and then I get spoilers. But I think, you know, it's one of those things you just have to learn to live with. But yeah, it was really good. I liked the voice. I found it helpful. It was everything an audio description should be, really.
There was one thing when it came to audio description, I was like, oh, I wonder if audio description and the soundtrack will fight with each other, because we had a fantastic soundtrack. It was Hans Zimmer again. He did the score for the second part, and yeah, it's amazing, but it is loud.
Yeah, that's funny enough. The two or three people I have talked to about it have said, made that comment. To be honest, for me, it's fine. If I can't feel it in my stomach at some point, I feel like I haven't been there. So I'm quite happy with loud. But yeah, I have a real passion for film music and I really want to hear it. I have to decide, well, am I going to listen to the audio description or am I going to just turn it down or take the headphones away and enjoy the music for a minute and not worry about what I'm going to miss? So at some points I thought I need the audio description, and the music was music I heard before, so I wasn't that worried. And then there were other times that I chose to take the headphones off and close my eyes and just enjoy the music for a bit. But there was a bit of a battle. I did have to have the audio description up higher at a couple of points. And I think there were a couple of points when I thought, okay, that's just not going to happen. So I'm just going to enjoy the music. The problem is if you have it too high, there's a possibility the person sitting next to you might be able to hear it, depending on what headphones you've got. So I keep forgetting to take my own headphones, which would be better, And one day I will remember, and then that won't be such an issue.
How did you find the story in this one? Because I feel like they set up the main conflict in part one, which was done almost subtly. In the second one, I felt that they fully kind of jumped into this religion versus power, this conflict. Is Paul going to become this almost messiah figure? I felt being a little bit less subtle actually made it a bit more in your face and a lot scarier.
Yeah, it was scarier. There were bits that made me uncomfortable. I'm not into horror and 18 movies, whether they're fantasy, sci-fi, whatever. I 15's generally the highest I go. And although this, I believe, is a 12A, there were parts of it that were like, ooh, I'm not particularly comfortable with that. As well as being sort of, as you say, the religious connotations that you can take from it, it was also very political. It was one of those sci-fi films that actually, if you really think about it, it isn't that sci-fi. Some of the stuff that they're talking about in the film is going on our planet right now. With fantasy, generally, it's like an escapism. There was an element of that, but there was also an element of, I can relate this to our planet.
Yeah, it's a bit scary how something that's been written so long ago is still so relevant to our current political climate. How did you find the new villain? Part one, we had obviously Dave Bautista with Raban, the Harkonnen kind of villain, with the Baron Harkonnen played by Stellan Skarsgård. So we had some really big characters. But this part, the main one, the kind of main conflict that was being set up, was Austin Butler as Freyd Rauta, which I thought he was absolutely terrifying. I know a lot of people were joking about, oh, he's going to do an Elvis accent because he's just played Elvis. But he was brilliant, and he was definitely very unhinged, which I think is what they were going for. And I liked him way more than, I think, if anyone watched the previous old Dune movie with Sting playing this character. Yeah. It's definitely an upgrade.
I totally agree with you. And as I was watching it, I was like, I know that face. But because of how he's made up, he looks very, very different from Elvis. And yeah, he was a really, really nasty villain, but the sort of villain, he did it so well that there's a bit of admiration there in the acting, because he was so good.
So let's end on, well, I think it will be a high note, but I feel like we should give our ratings. So how many would you give it?
So I gave it 9 out of 10. The only reason I didn't give it 10 out of 10 was, for me personally, it was a bit long and it lost it in the middle. There was quite a long time when it was quite slow. And I thought maybe those two things are the only reason I'm only giving it 9 out of 10.
I personally, at this time, I will give it 8.5, only because, as you said, I feel like there's maybe a bit too much that in the middle before actually going into the juicy stuff. And for me, also, part one was a 10 out of 10. I've seen that movie many times. So I have a feeling if I rewatch this movie, the rating will gradually start going up.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Either way, I am really excited to see another sequel. I believe the director, Denis Villeneuve, wants to do another story. He wants to finish the story of Messiah or Paul Atreides in this universe. So fingers crossed we get that.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Well, thank you so much, Lucy Franks. What a fantastic review of Dune 2. We definitely recommend it. If you can see it at the cinemas, if it's still somewhere near you, please go. Or if you can just wait for home release, it's definitely worth giving a watch.